Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Let's start off with Scripture, Deuteronomy 28:58. If you're not careful to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues upon you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues, and miserable and chronic sickness. This text is the curse that comes upon all those who do not keep the law of God, which is the curse upon all humanity because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The law brings about a curse because we're sinners. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. So, it's week two in the coronavirus pandemic. And as of the recording of this program, at least five states have put their people on lockdown. California, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Illinois. Now also, I believe, Delaware, Kentucky, and Oregon. All non-essential gatherings are prohibited. Almost every business is closed, and the churches aren't allowed to meet. These governors have essentially put the population out of work. Millions of people are applying for unemployment. We had a health crisis, but now we have a man-made financial crisis. And this is a point that we really need to consider. Is the government doing the right thing in mandating all businesses shut down? Now, we're certainly called to obey the powers that be, Romans chapter 13, but let's not assume that these governors are acting in wisdom. Rulers can be called of God to further punish people with bad policy. Remember 1 Samuel 14 when Israel was battling the Philistines? King Saul made a foolish policy that none of his men were allowed to eat until Saul avenged himself from his enemy. So, the Israeli troops had to battle in hunger. Saul's son Jonathan said, "My father has troubled the land." Or 2 Samuel 17, when Absalom took the bad counsel of Hushai rather than listening to Ahithophel. 2 Samuel 17:14, then Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The counsel of Hushai is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had ordained to thwart the good counsel of Ahithophel, so that the Lord might bring calamity upon Absalom." So, let's not assume that all the measures taken against the coronavirus are the best course of action. Now, yes, they may be well-meaning, cautious reactions, but they can also be very foolish. Almost every person in my church is now out of work. How long can that last? And think about this. The governor of New Jersey closed down every business in the state as if the coronavirus is as much of a problem in Cape May County as it is in Essex County. That everyone needs to be shut down if anyone is to be shut down. And that's foolish policy. With this motto, someone might die if we don't do X, Y, and Z. All sorts of damaging policy can be implemented. In their short-sightedness, politicians may actually create a financial meltdown. Maybe because they live in ivory towers and they think money grows on trees, or rather, it can just be printed on printing presses. Some of these politicians actually believe that the government can shut down all businesses and then take care of everyone with a government check. This mindset has been around for a while. It's coming from leftist socialistic ideology that believes the government can give everyone a basic income check every month. The Andrew Yang proposal in the Democratic primary debates to give everyone a basic income check of $1,000. From an economic point of view, this is a disaster. But a lot of these politicians believe they can just wave a wand and tell people not to go to work, without there being any major economic crisis or even a major rebellion on the part of the citizenship. Walter Russell Mead, in the Wall Street Journal, wrote the following on the opinion page. In a system where the party's wisdom and omnicompetence must always be acknowledged, a culture of sterility and conformism inevitably degrades decision-making. It leads to grave errors. Who was Mead talking about? The Chinese Communist Party. But if you didn't read the headline, you would think that he was talking about leftist politicians in the United States. As I made this point last week, a godless society will operate on fear rather than wise principles. And a people who say, in government we trust, will inevitably implement unnecessary extreme government interventions, which can be the ruin of all of us. As Walter Russell Mead explained, bad values degrades a people's decision-making ability. Now, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but this overreach by government and the problems it's creating is going to be the major news item over the next few weeks. In fact, I think the government response is going to be more of the story than the virus itself. You've got these politicians, Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio and Governor Murphy and Newsom, Pritzker and Lamont. They're all right now basking in the sunlight, thinking that they're heroes, and the media is cheering them on. But in a very short period of time, they could be vilified. I mean, this is Isaiah chapter 8. When people are hard-pressed and famished, it will turn out that when they're hungry, they will be enraged and curse their king and their God as they face upward. This is Monday, March 23rd, as I'm recording this program, and I'm already hearing news stories questioning these states closing all businesses. The director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease is now saying, quote, "We must not impose overly drastic measures that will result in unintended consequences, including other health issues. If you knock down the economy completely and disrupt infrastructure, you may be causing health issues, unintended consequences for people who need to be able to get to places and they can't. If you lock down everything now, you are going to crash the whole society." Unquote. And it looks like someone must be talking some common sense to the Trump administration, because the headlines this morning is Trump hints at possibly a less restrictive approach in the coronavirus fight. The president tweeted out, "We cannot let the cure be worse than the problem." And again, common sense tells us that the government can't tell everyone to stop working and then send everyone a check in the mail to keep them going. $1,000, a $2,000 federal check will not suffice. The government cannot meet everyone's needs. People have to work. This lockdown cannot last for another 3 months, until June, like some of these governors are talking about. But now again, for those with a previous communist socialist mindset, these people assume government can and should control every aspect of the economy, that the government should hire everyone and run all businesses and all will be fine. But here's one lesson we can learn from the corona event, and that is the limitation of human government. Now think about this. What is the government actually doing for us at this time? The politicians are standing behind microphones and calling for action. The CDC is compiling a lot of statistics. Some politicians want the military to show up and pass out food, to build more hospital beds in convention centers, the need of which is kind of doubtful. But the government can't make toilet paper or cleaning products. It's the retailers and the manufacturers who keep the stores filled. So there's no need to hoard or to ration. These people who are hoarding toilet paper know nothing about supply chains. And the government isn't providing medical help. Doctors and nurses are doing that. The government isn't making any of the medical masks. The government hasn't even created test kits or vaccines. A private company called Cepheid has come up with a new test for the coronavirus that gives results in just a matter of hours. It's coming to the market. And there's been a number of pharmaceutical companies that have come up with vaccines which are now going into the trial phase. The government hasn't done any of this. Yet these politicians are talking as if they are the center of attention, as if their pontifications are solving the problem. The political left is even angry with President Trump because he's not implementing the Defense Production Act to force companies to make certain products. Because as Trump has responded to these critics, the private sector is ramping up on its own. They don't need government force or interference. So think about this. If we had a government medical industry, like is found in communist countries, there would be no vaccines. There would be no test kits. There would be no toilet paper or cleaning products to stock up on. That's just what happens when employees and management get government checks without a profit motive, without owning the fruit of their labors. Now, of course, the government can use its God-given power of the sword to keep people from spreading the virus, but even that is not a major thing. Because people on their own will be more cautious. They, on their own accord, isolate themselves when there's a pandemic. Remember the federal government emergency alert system? Every once in a while, you hear this on the radio. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. Then we hear those beeps on the radio. And the announcer says, if this was actually emergency, blah, 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 blah. Well, a number of years ago, John Stossel did a report on this government program where the government wastes millions of dollars on this program to let the public know when there's a national emergency. But the private media for free would get this information out to the public way before the government and even would do a better job reporting. For example, the media was covering 9/11 before the government even knew about it. And the president was watching the news channels to find out what was going on. So let's just remember that the government can't ultimately save us. Now, yes, in wartime, government does have a role, but much less so when it comes to pathogens or many other social problems. The government cannot fix your drug and alcohol problem, your jobless problem, your marriage problem, your child-rearing problems. You have to do business with God yourself and change your own character and motivations. So, don't be surprised if this whole event will be remembered by political historians and theorists as another example of government ineptitude or government inability. This whole event may be another rebuke from God against many Americans who put their whole trust in government policy and wisdom. So, as you can guess, I'm somewhat skeptical about the government's reaction to this problem. I just have this sneaking suspicion that the gods of government can make a bad situation worse. But I'm saying this as someone who would actually benefit from this overreaction. I have had pneumonia twice. These viruses always go down into my lungs, and every other winter, I'm on antibiotics to knock out bronchitis. So I wouldn't be surprised if I get coronavirus and get taken out, but I can self-quarantine. I can be careful. Everyone in the country doesn't have to stop working and traveling just to save me or people like me. Governor Cuomo said businesses will be forced to close and families will face severe financial strain. But if all of these measures save just one life, they're worth it. Well, again, that philosophy that if it saves one person's life, it's worth it, has historically been the justification for all sorts of bad policy because That justification silences good policy because nobody wants to be guilty of harming anyone. It was the propaganda used to promote Obamacare and now Medicare for All and the Green New Deal. Consider this. The CDC estimates that every year the flu results in 45 million illnesses, between 140,000 to 810,000 hospitalizations, and between 12,000 and 61,000 deaths every year. Now, those are broad numbers. But consider last year, the 2018-2019 flu season. CDC reports that 35.5 million people were sickened with the flu. 16.5 million went to a healthcare provider for their illness. 500,000 people were hospitalized. And there were 34,200 deaths from the flu last year. So far in the United States, from the coronavirus, there have been only 33,000 cases and 400 deaths. So what about Italy? Well, so far, 5,500 people have died from COVID-19. But in the 2016-2017 flu season in Italy, 25,000 people died of the flu. And Italy has this problem because it has one of the oldest populations in the world. And older people die of illness before old age takes them out. Now, this is not to say we should not take extra precautions with this virus. We should. But let's remember, we're living in a world filled with disease. Our lives are always at risk. You can run and hide, but something is eventually going to get you. It just seems like with this little extra virus, the public is waking up to something that happens every year. Death by disease. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Genesis 19, from dust you were taken, and to dust you shall return. Now, of course, we can understand the fear, but the solution is not to stock up on toilet paper or refuse to go to the door or insist that the government do something. The solution is God. Specifically, the person and work of Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for our sins and provided this promise of forgiveness and eternal life. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging, we are healed. That text becomes a whole lot more meaningful when you're sick and desperate for healing. There's a very common medical insignia called a caduceus. It is two snakes wrapped around a pole with wings on top. We see it everywhere on medical signs and on badges. And there's a whole lot of speculation on its source. Some see it as something that came from Greek mythology, but its origin is from the Bible. When Israel was living on the Sinai Peninsula under Moses, the people complained against God and there was an infestation of poisonous snakes. The people went to Moses asking for help, and Moses told them to do a very strange thing. Numbers chapter 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, a pole. And it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Why did God want healing to come through looking at a serpent on a pole? Well, 1,400 years later, the Son of God would come to earth and say, John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. But you say, wait a minute, Jesus was on the cross, not a serpent. The serpent being the symbol of evil and sin. But Jesus, in hanging on the cross, took our sin and he became sin for us. He became the serpent hanging on the tree. Isaiah 53:12. And he was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sins of many and interceded for the transgressors. But let me close with a point made in a Hollywood zombie apocalypse movie. Now, no, this is not the Bible, but it's amazing when we see a major Hollywood movie pointing out a biblical godly truth. The movie is Will Smith in I Am Legend, put out in 2007. At the beginning of this zombie apocalypse genre, mankind genetically engineers a virus to heal people of cancer, but the virus mutates and turns everyone into violent animals. Will Smith is a military doctor hiding in New York City looking for a cure. He's a sole survivor. Eventually, a young woman and her son join Will Smith at his hideout, and she asks him to come with her to a refuge colony in New England. Will Smith protests, "I'm not going to leave the city. I'm not going to let this happen. I can still fix this. Besides, how do you know there's a colony?" The young woman reluctantly says, "Well, God told me, and he has a plan." Smith says, "God told you, the God? There is no God." She said, "Yes, God told me to turn on the radio and hear your broadcast and come to the South Street Seaport to meet you. And I arrived just in time to save your life. He must have sent me for a reason. The world is quieter now. We just have to listen. If we listen, we can hear God's voice, God's plan." Will Smith says, "Well, let me tell you about God's plan. There are 6 billion people on Earth, and when the infection hit, 90% were dead. That's 5.4 billion people dead. Then the rest became creatures who fed on everyone. Every single person that you and I have ever known is dead. There is no God." Well, this woman still holds on to her faith. She holds on to the goodness of God, to the plan of God. And the providence of God continues in the movie where Smith identifies the cure and realizes that this woman is the one sent to carry the cure to the colony. And at the end of the movie, the woman enters the colony. And there in the panorama is a New England clapboard church with a cross on top. So amazingly, the underlying theme in this movie is that mankind causes the evil, and only God can fix the problem. Which happens to be the biblical message in a nutshell. Romans 5:21, "So that as sin reigned in death, so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." My prayer is that you would quiet your heart and mind, stop listening to the chaos of the world, and hear the voice of God. And it's calling you to put your faith in Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The extended video version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Just go to YouTube, type in on the YouTube search bar, God and Country Biblical Exposition. And there you'll see the channel and this latest program, number 111. Don't forget to subscribe. So thank you for including God and Country as part of your discipleship in the Word. I'm happy to provide these programs because God has sent me and called me to serve you. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we again learn that salvation is of the Lord. Psalm 49, "No man can by any means redeem his brother." But Lord, you have redeemed us, and so we put our faith in you. In the name of Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.